Good morning. I've been thinking about two things recently. Outrage culture and redemption. Now, when I say outrage culture, I'm talking about the way the politically correct social justice crowd attacks people who've done or said something deemed to be racist, sexist, homophobic, or offensive in some way. If you read the news, and especially if you're on social media, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. There's this online mob mentality that just goes after people and sets out to destroy them. And it's really shocking and frightening how radical these folks are. Online abuse, harassment, even death threats. The other thing I've been thinking about is redemption. Now, several weeks ago, there was one verse in our Sunday school lesson that really stood out to me. And that is 2 John 1, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. That's in 2 John. 1 John has, I think, two verses that kind of repeat the very same thought. Now, one thing that stood out to me about this verse is what it doesn't say. It doesn't say they deny the existence of God, but they deny that Jesus came in the flesh. Now, there are many people these days who call themselves spiritual but not religious. You know, they think, yeah, there probably is a God, but he doesn't really have any impact on their life. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about people having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So this verse points out how very important it is to our faith that Jesus actually came in the flesh. And someone in our class pointed out that this verse is refuting Gnosticism, which was a false belief at the time. The Gnostics, at least some of the Gnostics, taught that everything physical is evil. Therefore, obviously, God would never come in a physical body. But the incarnation, the physical body of Jesus, is absolutely essential to our faith. And it's something that we cannot fully wrap our heads around. I mean, how can Jesus be fully man and fully God? It's one of those things that we have to believe without understanding. I mean, we just have to accept that we can't completely understand that. I want to read several verses about the incarnation and redemption. Romans 1, 3 and 4. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And then Romans 5, 6 to 11. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And finally, 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 14. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So our faith is vain. It's worthless without a physical resurrection. So Jesus had to come in the flesh to redeem the flesh. His resurrection defeated the power of death. And in order to die, he had to have a real physical body. Now back to outrage culture. It's interesting how the the outrage mob is not at all interested in redemption. When they latch onto a target, they seek to destroy that person. They don't seem to care about changing their behavior, changing that person's behavior, helping them improve. Their aim is to publicly shame them and destroy them. And the strange thing is that the mob launching these attacks are usually the people who claim to be loving and tolerant. Tolerant is a big thing. If you don't tolerate me, then you must hate me, right? Now, currently, there's a political debate about criminal justice reform, and that's important to the liberals. And I agree that this country's justice system is deeply flawed. Prisons tend to punish people without making effort to rehabilitate them. So criminal justice reform is actually one issue that I agree with the liberals on. But recently I heard an interview where two men were talking about the outrage mob and public shaming. And they pointed out something I hadn't really thought of before, is that it's the same people who publicly destroy someone for saying the wrong thing, but who embrace things like criminal justice reform. If someone convicted of a violent crime has reformed, the social justice warriors will embrace that person, you know, and champion that person's redemption. There's such a strange disconnect there in that mindset. So, how do we Christians respond with grace in a culture of outrage? First of all, I'd say just stay out of the arguments. There's just nothing redemptive about arguing. It's easy to fire off a comment on Facebook or Twitter without thinking about how it makes you look, you and your community, how it makes you look to the outside world. Arguing on the internet can make you feel like you're doing something for good, but it's usually just pouring gas on the fire. So I encourage everyone to think twice about what you share on social media and share in real life, just word of mouth. There's a temptation to become outraged by outrage culture. And then we have our own outrage reaction. We feel righteous indignation about other people's unrighteous indignation. But remember, two wrongs don't make a right. In the parable of the two debtors, Jesus taught that if we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. Is it not also true that the reason we forgive others is because God has forgiven us? We have been redeemed. Therefore, we must work to bring that redemption to others. Jesus came to redeem the world, and he calls us to partner with him in that work of redemption. We live in a broken and a hurting world, but God has given us the key to confront that pain and brokenness. So when we encounter angry people, let's remember that God has given us the solution to the problem. So let's do our part in God's work of redemption. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Jesus, I thank you for coming in the flesh to redeem a broken world. Thank you for redeeming us. And I just pray that you'd help us to respond to others with the grace and the love that you have given to us. Help us to heal a broken world. In Jesus' name, amen.